The Old Testament reading for a cantate is written in Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in James chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, Now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, Where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sermon for the fifth Sunday of Easter, or Cantate Sunday, is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And later he says, When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Thus far the text. Is God a great big nag in your life? Now don't be so pious, real quick to answer, oh, no, never, never. God's Holy Scripture has something very interesting to proclaim regarding this. Back in Genesis, as he was about to wipe away the world with a great flood, the Lord God knew that his spirit wasn't a nag to the people anymore. For they were flesh and blood just like you, but they just kept finding freedom from God. Push God out of the picture. Let us do what we want. God's word, God's Ten Commandments, moralism, Christian values, who cares? Let's just do what we determine is right in our own eyes. It can be concluded from Scripture that the Holy Spirit back then had to constantly nag and put up with strife from the original sinful world. But it was not as though the Spirit of God had carried out such a ministry of conviction all by himself without means. He worked through the holy patriarchs of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and others, reprimanding wicked, prideful, self-assured men and warning them about their future misfortune. That ministry of conviction by the Spirit lasted until God came with his actual punishment, the great flood, and with it extinguished the evil, proud, and wicked people. In the same way that things happened at the time of Noah, so also it occurred at the time of the Son of Man. For here in the gospel text, Christ promises the Holy Spirit to his apostles. So just as the holy patriarchs of old, the Holy Spirit will also carry out his ministry of conviction through the apostles' teachings. He will be a true nagging spirit. And this kind of conviction will endure until he, the Lord Christ, will appear from heaven with another actual punishment of the godless. And this isn't going to be just another earthly calamity. It's going to be the last day. So, is God being a great big nag in your life? A nag toward your unbelieving sinful flesh? You can only pray that through his Holy Spirit, he continues to bring you his ministry of conviction throughout your remaining days. But wow, does this go against what flesh truly wants? It wants to live by a theology of glory. The flesh wants everything to be easy and comfortable. No nagging. Leave me alone. You want what you want, and you want it yesterday. And if God doesn't see fit to give the flesh what it wants, well, then you'll just make it or take it for yourselves, kind of like an apple on a tree, Adam and Eve. After all, you know, just like they did, you know better than God, right? Wrong. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. What the Lord reveals in the gospel text this morning is that the Holy Spirit is going to play the spoiler to your flesh. Why? Because he is going to carry out his ministry of conviction. He is going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You see, the flesh may think that it has all the knowledge of good and evil, and that it knows how to determine what sin is. But the true understanding of sin comes as the Holy Spirit convicts by constantly pointing to Christ. For Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. In other words, sin is based on whether or not one believes in Jesus. Unbelief retains all sin because unbelief does not have forgiveness. While belief destroys all sin because belief is centered on forgiveness, because it is centered on and in the one who is the forgiveness of sins, Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit extends this understanding right into your everyday lives. Your various vocations of being sons and daughters, spouses, parents, brothers and sisters, or wherever it is that you work or employ others. In unbelief, all things done in these numerous vocations are sinful and remain sinful because they are corrupted by unbelief. While in belief, all things done in these vocations please God, not because it's a matter of works, but because they're done in faith. The Holy Spirit makes this clear at Romans 14:28, when he brought St. Paul to write, "Whatsoever does not proceed from faith is sin." And at Hebrews 11:6, the Holy Spirit also proclaims, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." The flesh may also think that it knows how to gain its own righteousness. The flesh actually already thinks that it's righteous. That's what Luther called presumed righteousness. But it thinks it can gain its own righteousness, convincing itself that it can make up for all the wrongs by being a good enough person. But that's only before the world, and the world can easily be fooled. And it's not the truth, for it's not God's truth. For the Holy Spirit's ministry of conviction proclaims that it is impossible for man to become righteous where it only truly matters, and that is before God. The Holy Spirit instead convicts the flesh by revealing that there is no other righteousness with which to stand before God and be justified than this going of Christ to the Father. This means that Jesus took upon himself your sin and for your sakes suffered death upon the cross and was buried. But he did not remain dead. He descended into hell, declared his victory. He broke his 3-day prison, passing through sin, hell, and death, onward to his resurrection and ascension, now seated at the right hand of the Father, having full authority over heaven and earth. The Holy Spirit convicts the flesh of this true righteousness because this is the very message of his word. It tells of Christ doing all of that on your behalf. You can do nothing. That convicts flesh. Christ won it all for you. That convicts flesh. This is not a thought, word, or deed of your own doing. It's outside of yourselves and is received as the Holy Spirit works through his word and sacraments. Jesus is the location of righteousness. And through God-given faith alone, you do not glory in yourselves, but you glory in Christ alone and his righteousness, which is accounted to you through faith alone, just as Holy Scripture proclaims that it was accounted to Abraham by faith alone. The flesh also thinks that it knows about judgment, thinking that it can judge all matters according to its wisdom. You judge others according to outward appearances, regarding trials and afflictions as signs of wrath, saying that these misfortunes, well, they are from the devil. The devil's in charge of all of it, causing you to fear the devil more than God. Oh, well, the world just keeps spinning. History just keeps repeating itself. So your flesh makes the judgment call. Well, he's not returning anytime soon. This whole judgment thing, give me a break. It's not really been set. Yet again, this is not true because it's not God's truth. Through God's word, the Holy Spirit's ministry of conviction yet again makes clear to your flesh that you cannot judge according to outward appearances. In fact, the Holy Spirit reveals in the book of Hebrews and many other places that trials and afflictions are actually a sign of God's love toward those who believe in him. You want proof of this? That he actually works through, sends trials and afflictions for good? Behold your Lord. Behold God making himself known through a cross. Behold God allowing evil and yet bringing the greatest good out of it. And as the Holy Spirit continually brings your eyes to rest on this, your peace, he also convicts your flesh of the truth about judgment. That is, that the devil and all his minions are already judged, conquered through the merits of Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, ascended, and returning. The word of the Lord proclaims nothing but truth, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And where he brings a person to believe his truth, the Holy Spirit creates a Christian. For therein he has rightly convicted the flesh, bringing it to properly know and believe God's truth regarding sin and righteousness and judgment, bringing you to repentance and belief. It may very well be uncomfortable. In fact, the flesh will not desire it, but it's a good conviction, and it leads to the ever-consoling solace of the gospel. The Holy Spirit's good conviction ever points to Christ Jesus, for he, Christ Jesus, brings the conquering of sin. He, Christ Jesus, is the righteousness that avails before God. He, Christ Jesus, is the one who has already judged the devil, the ruler of this world. He, Christ Jesus, is the mercy seat of God, the throne of grace to which you are brought to flee in repentant faith. Thanks be to the work of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament is in his blood. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Again, Jesus is speaking specifically about the work of the Holy Spirit. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will do nothing but speak and point to Jesus and what Jesus has earned, merited, and won for you. That it would not only be delivered, but that it would be received through God-created faith. This is the intent of God's Holy Spirit, convicting and consoling, bringing God's truth to your ears to create repentant faith, to create in you a new song, a new cantata. It's a song of rejoicing in the midst of trials and afflictions. It's a song of rejoicing in the midst of conviction. It's a song of rejoicing in the truth of God's word, despite the world, the devil, and your sinful flesh. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice indeed. Your new song is Christ Jesus and the life he won for you and delivers to you continually through the means of grace that the Holy Spirit works through, his word and sacraments. Praise be to God that the Holy Spirit ever nags you unto the end of the age, convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, convicting you right into the gospel, right into Christ Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended, and returning for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.